الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد بن عبد الله خاتم النبيين، وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable Ulama, respected elders and brothers in Islam, with just about a month for the day of Eid al-Adha, today being the 10th of Dhul-Qa'dah, I thought it appropriate to speak about the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. And in particular, I want to share with you just one lesson from the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, which I feel perhaps is quite pertinent given our current condition today. And that is the lesson of tafweed, the lesson of assigning, delegating, handing over our affairs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We can refer to it, we can call it tawakkul, placing our trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, or call it tafweed, where we leave our lives, our conditions, our challenges, every situation we're facing, we leave it in the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, before going into the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, just a few words to expound on this aspect of tafweed, this aspect of assigning our affairs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Remember the Quran Sharif and the Deen of Islam, the treasure of knowledge which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has blessed us with as an ummah, in the form of the Quran, in the form of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This treasure in the words of the Quran Sharif is everything. It is a maw'idah, it is a reminder, it is an admonition, it is a constitution, it is a way of life, a charter of life. It is also a shifa'un lima fi sudur. It is also a solution to many of the challenges that we face mentally. Many mental challenges that we face, the answer lies in the Quran Sharif, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many a times in the incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam of the past. So we find one common trend, one common problem which we face with today, gripped with today, whether it is globally, nationally, whatever it may be, and that is the problem of depression. The problem of where a person cannot face the challenges of life. Remember, Allah Ta'ala has designed this world such that the only place that is going to be problem-free, the only place where we won't have any challenge, is the hereafter. This is why Allah Ta'ala has referred to the life of the hereafter as the life. That is life. This, what we are going through, is not life. This is a passing temporary phase of a test before we get to our real life. The only place that is going to be problem-free, challenge-free, issue-free is the akhirah. In this world, it is guaranteed. From a pauper to a king, from a healthy person to a sick person, from a wealthy to a poor, every person will be faced with some challenge in his or her life. Now, what happens in the face of a challenge? Generally, we find we tend to focus on the problem so much, and we lose track of that being in whose control is that problem, in whose control is the solution of that problem. That being, without his permission, that problem would never have happened in our lives. We are calling it a problem, but I would rather refer to it as a test. as a challenge, not a problem. So because of us focusing on the problem itself, or sometimes the source of the problem, why is this person behaving like this? How could he have treated me like this? Why is it that I'm always having these type of problems in my life? One setback after the other. One mishap after the other. Accident first, then loss of life, then this, then that. So remember, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. No leaf, and I repeat, no leaf can separate itself from the tree without the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. No challenge, no problem, no difficulty, no condition, no test can come in our lives, can happen to me or you, and it will happen, without the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now when we focus, when we lose focus rather, of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and our mind is consumed by the problem at hand, and we see no way out, we see no solution, we see nothing changing, then gradually this leads a person to depression. Whether it is in a person's personal life, we will have our challenges. As a community, we will have our challenges. And specifically in our current conditions globally as an ummah, we will have these challenges. Now when we keep on reflecting over the challenge and we lose focus on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then slowly, gradually, that feelings of despondency begin gripping the mind and the heart. When is this going to end? According to the Gaza government media office, yesterday, 100,000 tons of explosives. 100,000 tons of explosives. Meaning 100 million kilos of bombs, of explosives, fell on Gaza since the beginning of the genocide. Now, as an ummah, when we continuously reflect and we continuously focus on our minds on why is this happening? How can these people do this? Who is going to stop them? Who is going to help? And we can't see that help coming. It doesn't seem like an end to our problems. Then slowly we begin feeling despondent. We begin losing focus on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and this is the biggest crime we as an ummah have committed. Whether it is in hardship or whether it is in good conditions, in ease, it is a moment of celebration, a moment of happiness. As believers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that we don't lose focus of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We don't forget Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is a happy occasion. The day of Eid, which is the happiest day, should be the happiest day in the life of a mu'min. We perform salah, we remember Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We give charity, we remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is an occasion of nikah. We take the name of Allah and we perform that nikah. So whether it is a happy occasion as a believer, we don't ever lose focus of the giver of happiness and the bringer of conditions. When it is a time of difficulty, we don't know ta'ala. So looking into the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, I want to just share with you one incident, which we heard many times, but I want to focus on this lesson, on this aspect. The aspect of tafweev, the aspect of being comfortable, the aspect of remaining composed, remaining calm within our minds and hearts, no matter the difficulty we are going through, no matter the situation we are facing. But iman will bring that calmness of the mind, that confidence within the heart, that no matter how difficult this is only through the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala knows why I am going through this condition, And Allah Ta'ala is the one, if He wills, will remove this condition. So look at Sayyidina Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. We know Ibrahim alayhi salam was Khalilullah. Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Now your friend, we don't want to see our friend going through hardship, going through difficulty. But look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What happened, what difficulty he went through. The incident is famous. When Ibrahim alayhi salam called his father to believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he called his people to believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He called the king of the time, Namrud, who would demand that people worship him, worship idols and worship him. He was their Rabb. He was their Lord. He was everything. When Ibrahim alayhi salam invited them to leave the worship of Namrud, to leave the worship of idols, and this is a lesson for you and I. As believers, no matter what the environment around us may say, no matter what the environment around us may be doing, we remain firm on the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Namrud eventually was frustrated, he decided to take the life of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this has been the way of all the zalims, of all the oppressors, all the tyrants. And remember, Allah Ta'ala has told us, has already informed us in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The zalim, the oppressor, the tyrant can never succeed. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says He doesn't like the tyrants. He doesn't like the oppressors. So it has been their way always that when they see themselves at a point where they are losing the argument, they are losing the battle, they know that there is no way they can win, then they resort to violence. They resort to aggression. So Namrud decided, we are going to kill Ibrahim alayhi salam. And how? We're not going to just kill him like that. We are going to kill him in a unique way. So in a city in Iraq named Kutha or Kuthi, the instruction is given. And a huge pit is prepared. And firewood is gathered for a month. Firewood is gathered for 1 month to prepare a large, a huge fire. And it was made such that the people were made to believe and understand that this is a religious duty to burn and kill Ibrahim alayhi salam. To such an extent, it is said that if a person was sick, he would take an oath and say that, I swear if I get better, I am going to go and collect firewood to place it into the fire, to place it into the pit, to prepare the fire for the burning of Ibrahim alayhi salam. A woman who was poor, she would knit and she would sew things to earn some money. With that money, she would, as a religious duty, she would go and buy wood and go place it into that fire. For 1 month they collected fire, the firewood. And then the fire is lit. Such a huge fire that historians write that the flames of the fire were speaking to the clouds, literally. That if a bird had to fly over the fire, the intensity of the heat of the fire was such that the bird would roast and fall. Now the time comes to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam. For 7 days they burn that fire till they decide now it's time to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. He has been locked up all this while in imprisonment. Solitary confinement. Who? The Khalil of Allah. Going through what? Going through this condition. Going through. They realize the fire is so hot that they can't throw him into the fire. Now how do they throw him? Shaitan inspires them to build a catapult, use a catapult. And there Ibrahim alayhi salam is placed in a catapult. And he's thrown, he's flung. And as he's flying towards that fire, the narrations have it, the malaika of the heavens, ya Rabbana Khaliluk, oh Rabb, this is your friend, this is your believer, this is the beloved of Allah. We are all the believers, we are all the friends of Allah. That hardship doesn't mean Allah Ta'ala has forsaken us. No. Ya Rabbana Khaliluk, your friend. What are you going to allow this to happen to him? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says to the angels, my angels, I give you permission, go and help him. So the angel that's in charge of the rains comes to Ibrahim alayhi salam, comes to him, says, oh Ibrahim, command me and I will cause it to rain. Allah ta'ala has given me the control. I will cause it to rain and extinguish the fire. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, this is the point I want to share with you. The point of tafweed. He was so calm. He was so certain, confident, comfortable in his difficulty, in his condition. When a source of help came to him, what did he say? He said, Hasbi Allahu Rabbi. Hasbi Allahu Rabbi. Oh angel, I don't need your help. Allah is enough for me. When the angel of the winds came, he said, oh Ibrahim, I will cause the winds to blow this fire out. He said, Hasbi Allahu Rabbi. Jibreel alayhi salam comes. Oh Ibrahim, I am here to help you. What does he say? Amma ilayka fala. Oh Jibreel, I don't need your help. I don't need your help. I have may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He says, why don't you then call Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to save you from this fire. Don't go, don't land in that fire. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, Hasbi min su'ali. Hasbi min su'ali. Ilmuhu bihali. I don't need to say anything to Allah. Allah knows my condition at this present moment. And there he lands in that fire, such a huge fire. Yet, kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. 7 days he lives in that fire. He says, those were the best days in my life. So the lesson I want to share with you, the lesson of tafweed. The lesson of handing over our affairs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, the Quran teaches us that when we are in a difficulty, we are in a situation, we are in a problem, then we resort to the means that we have to remove that problem. We resort to whatever means, the first means that we have at our disposal, which Allah forgive us, we tend to neglect. And this is a means which Allah has taught us in the Quran, where Allah says, I will most certainly try you with difficulties. You will have it in your life. But then Allah says in the next verse, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek my help by sabr, by steadfastness. Remain firm, remain steadfast. Don't say anything with your tongues that displeases Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Don't do anything that is against the command of Allah. What an irony it is. Sometimes when we are in a problem, then instead of seeking the help of Allah, we resort to those means that bring the anger of Allah, thinking that that mean will take us out of the problem. No, Allah has said, be sabr, be steadfast. Remain firm. You have with you the guidance of the Quran. You have with you the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Remain firm unto that and seek the help of Allah was-salah through salah. As an ummah, as believers in our personal lives, as I said, we are facing so much of problems. Globally, we are facing so much of difficulties. Have we resorted to this divine, God-given prescription to remove our problems? Have we bowed our foreheads in sajda before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is calling us 5 times a day, come and speak to me, my servant. And you speaking to me is not for my benefit. You speaking to me guarantees you a place in Jannah. I want you to go to Jannah. Speak to me 5 times a day. I will give you Jannah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala announces every day, you need my help. Every night before Fajr, before the time of dawn, you need my help, I am there. Ask, I will give it to you. You need risk, ask, I am there, I will give it to you. You need my help, you need forgiveness, you have committed wrongs. And who hasn't committed wrongs? Ask me and I will forgive you. So, ista'inu bisabri wa salah. We follow the divine prescriptions for seeking the help of Allah. And then we use whatever means at our disposal, financial, whatever we need to do. But ultimately, we assign our matter to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The result for that problem to end is not in that means. for the sickness to go away, it's not on the doctor, it's not on the medication. It is only the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So we then remain calm, confident that Allah ta'ala knows my condition. I have adopted whatever means I need for the help of Allah, whatever means I need to remove this difficulty. But now it is the work of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in His wisdom, will either continue testing me, or Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will remove that difficulty. Just yesterday, just to conclude, I came across an interview of a doctor, Dr. Anas Al-Hajawi, who spent 2 weeks in Gaza. When he was asked, what was your perception of the people in Gaza? What did you notice? He says, initially when I went in, I was gripped with fear. I was gripped with fear. One is obviously because of the bombing. Secondly, I was gripped with fear that how are the people of Gaza going to receive me? Because so many months, where was I all these months? After so much of difficulty, now you are coming. So I was worried of two things. I was worried of their response, that they will label me or they will be aggressive towards me for abandoning them. And then also because of the fear of the bombing, he says, the moment I stepped foot, this is a surgeon, a specialist surgeon, he says, the moment I entered Gaza, he says, At-tarheebu shadeed, the warm welcome that I received made me immediately forget the fear that I had. And then he says, I noticed amongst the people of Gaza, from a child to a woman, to an elderly person to a young man, from the doctor, from the scholar, from the person on the street, nobody is afraid. He said, nobody is afraid. For them, life and death is mawdu'u waqt. It's a matter of time. Allah has decreed our life. Allah has decreed our death. If it is written for today, then today. If it is written for tomorrow, he says, the doctors I work with, they told me every day when we leave home, we bid farewell to our families. And we leave. And our families are comfortable knowing, وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, I leave my matter to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, Allah watches everything. Allah watches the victim. He knows the difficulty. Allah will reward him. Allah knows the zalim, the oppressor, the tyrant. Allah will take him to task. So the lesson I want to share with you in the season of Qurbani is the lesson of leaving our matters in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Seeking the help of Allah through being patient, being steadfast, and through performing our salah. How sad it is. How sad it is. Our masajid are full to capacity on a Jumu'ah. And after Jumu'ah, leave the Salatul Asr. After a Jumu'ah, even for our sunnah, even for the sunan of Jumu'ah, we run away. Where are we going to? Who are we leaving? Are we running away from Allah? Allah wants us. Allah is waiting for us. We as an ummah need to turn back to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala inspire us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.